Yvonne, thank you so much for taking us around the world in 2 minutes and bringing us back here on Hard Facts. Lagos, let's talk about manufacturing on today's Balogun and Broad.
If you earn a living, you probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the billion-dollar valuation of
Balogun and Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of...
And Balogun Street.
The maximum I'll spend on fuel, so on throw, was 4,000.
On Balogun and Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
This is the business show for people who are doing real business. There's no up here. We're talking about the biggest stories of the day and how they're affecting your business. We talk about the real things that entrepreneurs face. We talk to the real entrepreneurs who are growing their businesses in the Nigerian environment. And we also look at that business environment sector by sector. Today, we're looking at the manufacturing sector. Our business hard fact today is from the National Bureau of Statistics. According to them, Nigeria's manufacturing sector shrank in the second and third quarter of 2020. So we've seen a steady drop in manufacturing since the COVID outbreak. Things were already tough before COVID, but the pandemic made it even worse. But we all have to hope that manufacturing improves, because apart from its effect on the GDP, manufacturing also creates jobs. Countries with booming manufacturing sectors have far less unemployment because factories employ lots of people. And so if that's the end goal that we want for Nigeria, we should all be hoping for a country with more manufacturing. But we don't have more manufacturing because there are challenges in that sector. And the best way to find out what those challenges are and how some people are overcoming them is to talk to one of those people. So joining us to talk about manufacturing from his personal experience is the owner of Zena Plastics. His name is Barry Tokbagi. Welcome to Balogun and Broad on Hard Facts.
Thank you very much.
Now, after the interview, stick around, Lagos, because I'm going to be talking to you about the violent clash between road transport unions and how the government stepped in, not to punish, but to mediate. But before that, if you've got questions about manufacturing, you can call us and ask Mr. Baggy. Now, Mr. Baggy, tell me what products your company makes.
Well, I'm into the manufacturing of PVC pipe, polyvinyl chloride pipes, rigid for water and electricity. Popularly called conduit pipes for electricity, but we manufacture a range of PVC pipes for water from 20 mm to 400 mm.
Okay. Do you sell exclusively to wholesalers and distributors, or do you also do retail directly?
No, we sell mainly to distributors.
Oh, I see. All right. Now, tell me what made you choose this line of business. Did you work in the sector before? Did you just come into it?
Well, at the time we started, there was a growing business in the real estate sector where estates were coming up, and there was very high demand for pipes, and that attracted us, of course. We are going into business that is driven by profit motive. Mm. You have to go into an area where there's market for your product.
Yeah.
And that was what took us there.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if you don't mind me asking, how did you raise the capital for this business?
Well, we started on a very small scale, one machine. And after that, a bank saw what we were doing and got interested and funded us. With that, we were able to expand to what we are today.
I'm wondering how COVID-19 and the lockdown affected your sales. I mean, you produce pipes, like you said, for water and electricity, and I'm guessing that those things get used, like you mentioned, mostly in construction. And we've heard that construction activity dropped during the lockdown. Did it affect your business?
Sure. Let me just tell you this. You mentioned a very important point in your introduction. Mm. When you were talking about manufacturing being a center for job creation.
Right.
But the truth is that it's like that has not made any sense to go to our various governments, because it doesn't. I don't see any policy in place to support the soil in manufacturing. And it, like you know, and from what you have said, you know, manufacturing is the most difficult area to do business in now. And our people are very, very interested in what they can put in now and get, if possible, their returns today. So, coming back to your question, you know that there's no way we will not be affected. In the first place, the COVID has impacted so much on the economy generally.
Right.
And today, people are just looking for what to eat. People are not; they don't have the money to invest in real estate.
Right.
And so, the impact on our business is great.
Hmm. Right.
That is on the demand side.
Uh-huh,
okay.
Uh-huh.
On the demand side.
Uh-huh.
On the supply side, I can give you an example. As at June last year.
Hmm.
We were buying 1 ton of the main raw material we use, which is the PVC, at 400,000 naira per ton.
Okay.
Today, the same quantity of raw material is being sold for 1,300,000 naira.
My goodness.
Between June last year and now. That is just one item of the raw material.
All other
additives. The same thing.
Hmm.
Come, tell me, is it possible when demand is so low for you to transfer all that increase in prices to the customers? So these are the challenges.
Hmm.
And nobody cares. I don't see any serious government policy that is saying we want to do this. I remember the days of Shagari government.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be this provision that every bank should reserve a percentage of their loan for manufacturing or agri, you know, at a lower rate of interest. You know, that is, if a bank is giving, say, 100 million naira loan, at least 5% of that should go to the manufacturing sector or agri sector at a lower interest rate. Today, they will tell you, go to the Bank of Industries.
Mm-hmm.
How many people can the Bank of Industries deal with? And then the processes, the bureaucracy of getting that from Bank of Industries and the requirement for SMEs, it's not easy. And that's why you see the industrial sector is almost getting extinct.
Mm.
You know, and like you rightly said, when the industries are not growing and people are graduating from school every day and they are not getting jobs and they want the good things of life, all you are saying is that they should go into kind.
First of all, let me even ask before we move further, your raw materials, are they local or imported?
I didn't mention the fact that beyond the pipe.
Mm.
We're also into the manufacturing of pulley bags.
Yes. Oh, know? Okay.
Yes. For the PVC pipe, the raw material is 100% import dependent.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
And
why is that? Can it not be sourced locally?
Well, as of today, nobody is manufacturing that in Nigeria.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yes, but for the pulley bags, we are lucky to have Indorama around here.
Okay.
I'm operating in Port Harcourt. And we use the raw material. But even because of this COVID, I'll give you another example. A bag of the raw material that we are buying for 10,000 before COVID is now selling for 21,500 naira.
My goodness.
That one is produced here in Element because they also import raw materials.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
And then the price of so many other things, including the gas they use as their raw material, the prices have gone up.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And now, those that used to supplement their own local production, you know, they can't bring in this thing because of scarcity of foreign exchange.
Right.
And then the high interest rates and borrowing money from the banks.
Right.
That is, maybe you have enough to get it anyway.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So a combination of all these factors have made even the raw materials for the polybags to be scarce.
Mm.
And so Indorama cannot satisfy the entire Nigerian market. So their own prices have gone up too.
Mm. So how are you dealing? How are you dealing? Who am I bearing the cost of these raw materials going up at the moment? When I buy waterproof in the market,
yes,
am I paying more now?
One way or the other, you have to pay. But the shocking thing to know is that we cannot transfer 100% of the price increase to the market.
Right.
You know? So at the end of the day, we are bearing the brunt.
Mm.
And as you are doing that, there are multiple taxes that are being imposed on us.
Tell me about these taxes.
You are paying VAT. Local government is coming after you. Community people are coming after you. If you want to import yourself some of these raw materials, NAFDAC is coming after you. Son, for the same product of raw material that is not yet ready for consumption, you are going to make a product out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You must register with some. You must register with NAFDAC. No,
why?
Item.
Why? If you're sourcing raw materials, like you said, it's raw materials. It hasn't been made into a product yet.
Yes,
why do you have to register with SON and NAFDAC?
That is the question we should be asking our policymakers, because that is what we are subjected to.
Do they give a reason? Do they tell you, this is why you have to do it?
It's their function. They say it's their function.
The raw material.
So you have to get some cap for the raw material. You have to get NAFDA registration. Otherwise, you can't bring in this thing. They want to test the quality. So you have all this kind of complication within the system. You know? The government policy on even import. In fact, first thing we should ask, do we have an industrial policy? What is policy in place by government, and this is where we are going in order to drive the industrial sector? Look around you. You are calling from Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Think back to your mind. If you don't know, there was a time you have the Ikeja Industrial Estate opened by government. We had the Maturi.
Right.
Industrial Estate. There was a Papa Industrial Estate.
Right.
Then you go to Ibadan, you have Yeluyele and the rest of them.
Right.
Go to Kano, you have Sheraton and this. You come to Port Harcourt, there was Transamati.
Right.
Come to Transamati today. All the wells is either they have been taken over by churches, or they have been taken over by Asians who are selling television. There's no manufacturing going on there again. So for those of us who are in the industry trying to manufacture, it's like we are fools. We don't know what to do in Nigeria.
So you were telling me about the other taxes. You have to pay VAT. You have to pay the local government. You have to register with NAFDAC and SON.
Yes.
Is that it? Or are there more? I mean, I can't believe I just said, is that it? Because that's quite a lot. But are there more?
There are more. Let me tell you.
Hmm.
There are more.
Okay.
Some of them are not recorded anywhere. Let me give you an example.
All right.
If you go from here now to Lagos to buy material, these materials can come all the way from Lagos and the moment it gets to like the boundary of River State, because of all the local government, for a truck like that, you're expected to have over 10 stickers. 10 stickers. So this will have to wait until the 9th to come in when these tax sources are off the road. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many states are involved in this kind of activity. You know? And every local government you pass through, they are doing a similar thing.
You have to have their own sticker.
They have a draft sticker for this, sticker for that, sticker for that. Sometimes other states don't recognize what is issued by other local governments don't recognize what is issued by other local governments. And they hold you there. You can stay there for a whole day. Somebody must collect money from you before you come back.
Now, you talked about having an industrial policy. Say that you were in charge of that. Say that the policymakers, the president says, Barito, come. Tell us what you think our industrial policy should be. What do you think the best one would look like?
Well, like I said before, in those days, there were definitely policies that gave some support to those who are in manufacturing.
Mm.
What they used to do, there was a time they were talking of import suspicion policy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is, for anything that is imported, if you go into manufacturing that particular thing,
mm-hmm.
then the government will give you some concession in certain areas, either tax delay, okay, or some kind of specific policy that will say, because we want to encourage this sector, the interest rate should be is capped at a point, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But today is not like that. If they say, if you have been listening on the radio, there are so many things they've come up with, which you must do through central bank. Imagine everybody who is looking for a particular thing, you go through your bank, you go to the central bank. In fact, central bank is almost behaving like they are now the commercial bank.
Hmm.
You understand? We would have expected that policies will be coming from central bank, but central bank is now distributing funds. And the process of reaching there is so difficult. So one, we don't have a strict policy that says, for industries, this is what we are doing for them to encourage them. I appreciate the fact that under the common external tariffs, you know, certain provisions have been made for raw materials. Most of them pay 5%, and for machinery, they pay sometimes even 0%, you know. But that is where it stops. That is where it stops. We could do more because, like you said, if we are able to engage our youth, our young graduates in the industries, we will spend less on security. I was just listening to the introductory part of this program where they are talking of students being taken away because of that. We are closing school, closing border, this thing. Look at the huge amount of money we are spending on security, and we're not even getting the security. Because there are too many idle hands. I don't know the last time you attended a graduation ceremony in this country. And then you see the number of young people that are graduating.
Mm.
In Lagos, there you have University of Lagos. You have MASU and several other institutions.
Mm-hmm.
As they graduate, where are they going to? Our government is not bothered about this. Somebody will come and say, we are giving you 10,000 naira. Of course, you know the value of 10,000 naira today. What business can you do with? You know? So if there are policies that are targeted at industries, like what we are doing, as little as we are, 100 people are off the street. 100 people are off the street.
So imagine if we had a lot of youths.
That is direct employment.
Yes.
We're not talking of people who are selling pipes. We indirectly created jobs for them.
And people who are transporting
pipes. Who are transporting raw materials to us and transporting our finished product. Of course, the workers there must stay in houses. So people now build to rent to them. And as they rent, they must eat food. So they buy food from the local people. And as they do that, of course, they will have children and their children must go to school. So the multiply effect is unimaginable.
It's huge. Now, if somebody wanted to go into your line of business, if someone wants to go into your line of business, what advice would you give them? Because like you said, we need more SMEs like you. We need more of you. Because imagine you're employing 100 people, right? Directly.
Yeah.
Now, imagine we had 10 of you. That's 1,000 people off the streets. That's 1,000 people employed.
Yes.
Yeah, the terrain is rough. The challenges are immense. We've not even talked about electricity yet. And I'm sure that you have I'm sure that you're going to talk to me about your electricity problems. But let me talk about somebody who's listening to us now and they want to come into your business. What advice would you give them?
Well, the advice I would give them is that it is a very, very challenging sector for now because the only people that can demand this product are people who are into building. And you notice that the moment there is a little shock within the system, okay? The first thing is that people are looking for how to eat
first, yeah,
and how to treat themselves.
Yeah.
So the food industry, the pharmaceutical industry, of course, they remain in business.
Mm.
Okay. But when it comes to real estate, when people don't have money to eat, how can they build houses? You know? So the person has to do a thorough feasibility, okay? And then convince himself or herself that there's the market for that product. Number two, right now, sourcing foreign exchange for importation is very, very, very difficult. And so if you are going into something that is 100% import dependent in terms of raw material, you are already running into a very big challenge right from the beginning. Okay? And of course, you have talked of the power, the location. Where do you locate your factory? Where do you, what is the level of power supply in that area? You know? And because if you are going to produce on generator, like I said, government is not bothered about what is happening to that sector. Today we buy diesel at 235 naira per liter.
Wow.
And so if you are going to consume, let's assume 500 liters a day times that, okay? You see what it amounts to. So it's very, very challenging, and I would think that if anybody is thinking of going into manufacturing today, maybe if I was doing that today, I would go into the food sector.
Because man must work, eh?
Because man must work.
Lagos, if you just joined the show, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and I have the owner of Zena Plastics on the show with us. He is Barry Tokbagi. He has his business in River State, and they manufacture, like he said to us, PVC for water pipes, for electricity, for things like that. So a lot of the work that they do help the construction industry quite a bit. And he's talked to us about the raw materials they use. He's talked to us about who he sells to. He's talked to us about the products that his organization makes. He's talked to us about why he chose this line of business, even though he says that if he had listened to this show, he would have gone into food business instead of instead of plastics. But I want to talk very quickly, because we're out of time, very quickly about your challenges with power. Are you completely off-grid? Are you using diesel completely? Or do you do like a combination of electricity and alternative power sources?
Yes, a combination.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Combination of generator. Of course, there's no way you can do business today without generator.
Right.
I don't know of any place today in Nigeria that can get, anyone can guarantee 100% electricity supply.
Right.
So, you must have a generator. It's a combination.
How much does that off-grid power eat into your profit?
Oh, in fact, I can tell you that in 2017,
right,
when my present, where I'm speaking from now, if you come here, you will see warehouses. When the power supply became so bad, I have to relocate to another place.
Okay.
And that was not an easy decision to take. In the process, all our working capital were wiped out.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And we just started gradually again. Where we are today, at least we got up between 15 to 18 hours supply a day, and I think we can manage with that. Okay? But definitely this we are not even talking of profit, we are just talking of just sustaining the business.
Thank you so much for talking to us on the show, Barito. We wish you all the best. We've learned so much from you today, and we
hope that
things look up for those of you in the manufacturing industry.
Thank you so much.
Barito Bagi is the owner of Zina Plastics, and he spent 25 minutes talking to us about their work there as a manufacturer. You know, he shared his personal experience as the owner of a plastics manufacturing industry. They make PVC pipes, they make nylon bags as well, and they're located in River State. And he joined us on Balogun Broad today, and I learned quite a bit. I don't know about you. Now, speaking of learning, we've learned that the Lagos State Government has mediated between the NURT and RTEN. RTEN is Road Transport Workers. RTEN is Road Transport Employers, and NURT is Road Transport Workers. So we're going to take a look at that story after the break. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Don't go away.
Living, you probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the $1 billion valuation of
Balogun Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of
and Balogun Street.
The maximum I will spend on fuels on fro was 4,000.
Balogun Broad, Wednesdays at 5.
We've gone to Broad Street. Now let me take you to Balogun Street, where last Thursday there was a violent battle in Obalende between road transport workers and road transport employers. So NURTW and RTEAN. The union members, or people who work on their behalf, were fighting around the parks in the area with fists, knives and guns. They were shooting at each other. If you're watching on Facebook at the moment, we have that footage streaming alongside my face. Nigeria Info 99.3. Nigeria Info 99.3. If you're watching us on Facebook, you're seeing that particular footage of what transpired last week Thursday. Now, how do we know that it was NURTW and RTEAN? Because they told us. Each side has said yes. They were involved in a fight with the other group. But each one is saying that the other guy started it. RTEAN says their members were minding their business on their side of the park and NURTW boys attacked them to take it over. NURTW is telling the same story in reverse. Regardless of who started it, we know how it ended. 7 people injured, many cars destroyed, people on the run for their lives, violence, vandalism. And as we've heard over and over since the NSARS protests, the government has zero tolerance for violence and vandalism. People who vandalize Lagos don't love Lagos. They must face the music. So, of course, you may expect the government will step in here, investigate the clash, punish the offenders, right? Well, what did happen on Monday was that the government invited the leaders of both sides to a meeting at Radisson Blue Hotel to make peace. The meeting was chaired by Oluwatoyin Fayinka. He's a special advisor to the governor on transport. He had this meeting with the leaders of these two unions who said, yes, we fought at Obalende Motor Park. Yes, it was our people who shot guns, who destroyed cars, who injured people. There have been no arrests. Well, anyway, there's been an arrangement. The NURTW will allow the RTEAN to operate in one part of the motor park, but RTEAN will have to pay some money to the NURTW. Now, let's look at the business angle of that story. My first question is, how dangerous is it to operate in the transport sector here in Lagos? I'm asking because we just saw a dispute over operational rights degenerate into a shootout. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, we're showing you that footage. Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube Nigeria Info FM. We saw a dispute over operational rights degenerate into a shootout. And when the state finally stepped in, they didn't step in to punish the shooters. They stepped in to broker a peace deal in which one side has to pay money to the other side. So I'm really curious to hear what transport workers and transport company owners and bus and taxi owners and keke drivers go through. I want to know how you feel about the business environment. Do you feel safe? Do you feel that the government will protect your interests if there is violence? And I also want to talk about this territory thing, this system of territory and control and payments. It's reminding me of Gangs of New York. You seriously, go and watch that movie. You need to watch that movie. This thing, that Gangs of New York was set in the 1800s. So 2021 Lagos is that story. So yeah, basically we have the government through the governor's SA brokering a deal where one union is basically paying tax to another union. I really want to know how you see these types of things. We've heard many of you who work in transportation complain about all the levies and the fees and the taxes that you have to pay. So this is the time for you to talk about it. I want you to call. I want you to talk about the fees that you pay. Talk about the taxes that you pay. Talk about the system into which you pay them. Talk about the culture. We started talking about it concerning Omonile 2 weeks ago, remember? But I wonder if you see the situation with the unions and the transporters as an extension of that culture of extortion. Because some people do. Now, do you think what the government has done here was the right move? Is this the attitude the government should be taking towards these sort of things? Again, I don't know the system, so perhaps the government has looked at it, x-rayed it, weighed it with their options and decided, you know what? This is the most logical, most sensible path. What do you think? 0700-993-993-993. That's our number for men. And 014-657-190. That's our number for women. 014-657-190. That's our number for women. Our number for men is 0700-993-993-993. What do you think about government mediating between NURTW and RTEAN after a violent gun battle? Should they have made arrests instead of mediated? If you are a businessman or woman in road transport, why is there so much violence? What dues, what levies, what fees do you have to pay as a transport worker? As a transport businesswoman, business person? Gabriel is in Obalende. Gabriel, thank you for calling us.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening. Yes, welcome.
I was around there before, a day before that crisis. Mm-hmm. I saw a group of 2 sets of people.
Okay.
Where we are not used to see in Obalende.
Okay.
I mean, tough, strong young boys.
Okay.
With Monzo.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the second day that they already issued them on the different sites.
Mm.
Before that issue break out on, I think it was last week.
Okay.
I saw the last week in the morning.
Okay.
When you ask about my Lagos, Nigeria government, not just only Lagos, they will say they use them for election. What do you use them for? Do you use them to say ring election? Do you use them to mobilize? So say government always settle them, and then you know, should in Lagos anywhere. They are government boys. Not anybody will do about it. I do transport before commercial transport.
Okay.
I enter one from Oshodi. 30 passengers are coming to Obalende.
Okay.
He charges us 400 naira. Elderly man, no, this will collect 1,200. That's 3 passengers.
Mm.
I wonder, 1,200 200. Like you have 2 cars of 30,000. You already take 30,000 money.
Mm.
One boy came. They said, now we help you call passenger. He give them 100 naira.
Mm.
They said, police money. He give them 100 naira for police money.
Mm.
I was asking him for this man. Is this what we are doing transport? We only pay for one passenger.
Mm.
That was 1994, 95.
Mm.
Today, so how many years later, 25 years later, everything has changed. We only pay one passenger money. If you take ticket from one local, let's say Kenya local government, it cover you throughout the whole day.
Mm.
Later, everything changed. If you move from Kenya to Oshodi, you see different agbero, you only pay for one. In one local government in my old time, that 94-95. That's what makes some of us run away from transport
business. Gabriel, thank you so much for calling. Black is in Oworo. Black, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good evening, Sandra.
Good evening.
Sandra, actually, I'm very happy for you guys.
Okay.
For even offering our ladies a line to call. I'm actually happy for that. Okay.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay.
And I'm happy for this lady that called you last. Her name is Toyosi. I love her comments. I love her.
But we're not talking about that anymore.
No problem. Hey, as for the agrees and the fight last time, and Nadenge Lagos, you understand? So if Lagos fight, they have to settle themselves to here. As you can tell them.
Now Agbero get Lagos.
Nadenge has it.
Black, thank you very much for calling. Really? Our mega city? Our mega city? No, that's not true. That's not accurate. Huh? We've got a message on WhatsApp. Sandra, I'm a dealer of plumbing material. He has a question for the guest that we had. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, the guest is not on the line anymore, but thank you very much for sending that question in. Baba G is on the line. Hello, Baba G.
Sandra, the president.
Thanks for calling. Welcome.
First and foremost, let me thank Nigeria IFO for opening a particular line for our ladies. You know, hearing their voices, I think if you're under depression, you will calm down.
True.
I think Nigeria, if all that radio station, I don't think they can catch up because you're always ahead.
Mm.
That's the truth.
Thank you.
If you talk about the union, if you notice the union, I think in my area, there are two. We have the one wearing up and down yellow, while the other one is the normal one we normally know. Is it green? We call it green, Nigeria flag.
Okay.
You know. And I think I can't explain it if you ask me because it's a serious matter.
Mm.
Do you know systematically the union they are taking over Lagos virtually? I was coming from Ireland, was it not last week? When I get to Ikotu, you know, they tie the road, Ikotu. They put a traffic light on the junction if you get there.
Okay.
So in the evening, I saw market women. They enter the major road they just tied. They share their market there, both sides. And I asked the keke, Marwa entered because I use public transport. And you know what he told me?
Mm.
He said the Agbero, they are collecting money from them. So I was wondering, are they remitting the money to the government? And if you can be able to create a loophole for the union to be collecting money freely, don't you think if Lagos State government look carefully about transportation, and you hand over it to the local government, they give the ticket once a day, you are going to make hundreds of millions. Why is it the government cannot even talk about the union, you know, fight here and there?
Well, but they did talk this time around, and they mediated between the two unions, and now one union has to pay the other union to use a particular park. What do you think about that?
Sandra, you know, I've been in Lagos for years, and I can tell you for free that the union, they have something to do with the power that be. I'm telling you the truth.
Okay.
I remember when Marwa was in power. You know Marwa, the military,
yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
We have Operation Sweep. They remove Agbero from Lagos State.
Yes.
But when the governor, the 1999 governor,
Bola Tinubu.
Asiwaju. The Agbero came from nowhere. And at the end of the day, I remember you journalists, you guys, you interviewed Tinubu.
Mm.
why can't we remove these boys? And he said he's building a recreational center. I remember then that by the time he finished it, you will not see them on the road.
Yes.
And there was a time they asked him again. He said, allow me to complete the recreational center. And it was Fashola who wanted to remove them.
Yes.
That is another day discussion. But they should do something about this. I know the government, they are listening. I think they should do something about this union. If they don't do something about the union, if we get out of hand, time will come, they cannot be able to control them. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Babaji, for calling us. Samuel is in Ebgueda. Hello, Samuel.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, thank you for what you are saying.
Oh, no. Samuel, I'm so sorry. I think we kept him on the line too long. 99.3. Hello? Thank God you give yourself sense. All right, then. 0700-993-993-993. We spoke with Barry Tokbayi, who is... in the manufacturing industry. And then we're talking about the violence in the road transport business. This show, this part of the show, is called Balogun and Broad. And on Balogun and Broad, we talk about business by the business for and by you. You know, you're the one who's doing the business, and you know what the biggest stories of the day are. You know how they affect you or how they affect the businesses you work for. And so that's what we try to do on this particular show. We've got Tony in Festac on the line. Tony, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Welcome, go ahead.
Yeah, about the professional union. I've been into transport for almost 20 years now. I've been doing this transport business. Is it about the national union?
Yes.
What I'll be passing through with them is not a smart thing. If you want to see film, just come to my 12.
So you're a transporter, eh?
I'm a transporter.
Okay.
Up to today.
Okay.
Even if you come to my 12, sometimes we load like 200 naira from my 12 to Ushuri.
Okay.
We will spend almost 2,000 plus. This one will come and collect. There's nothing you can do. And you cannot fight them.
Do you feel that government will protect your interests if there is violence?
Is it Lagos State Government?
Yes, Lagos State Government. What do you think about the fact that government mediated between RTEAN and NURTW and made RTEAN pay tax to NURTW?
Well, I don't know about that one.
Tony, thank you.
I'm trying to tell you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Ojiore. Sorry about that. I think that's your name. Ojiore. I don't know if that's your name, but thank you very much for calling. And sorry about your wait time. We have a message from Shasha. Harry's in Shasha. Harry says, the same Sanwo-Olu that said Lagos will be a smart city by 2030 is mediating the crisis between rival street gangs. Sandra, I can bet my bottom naira that MC Oluomo will become Speaker of Lagos State House of Assembly before 2030. When this happens, it will be clear to all that we have handed our collective destiny away. Harry. We've got Luga Exclusive, who is at the NMPC filling station in Majek. And Luga says, I want to ask if Agbero is legalized in Lagos. If yes, the fees they are collecting from motorists, what are they using it to do? Lagos is fast becoming a failed state by encouraging these hoodlums who call themselves road transport workers, who are forcefully depriving motorists of their hard-earned money without using the money to develop any road in Lagos State. For the state government to hold a meeting with these people is in a prestigious hotel. It's a shame. We've got a call from Sam in Ebgueda. Hello, Sam.
Yeah, good evening.
Thank you for calling back.
You?
I'm good. Welcome.
Good. Regarding the issue of Agbero and all this stuff, I overheard you saying, are they actually the power that be in Lagos?
Yeah.
You should have known that.
No, I disagree.
You may disagree. No, you have the right to disagree with me. But if you look at the activities, and I know you drive daily, and you see the way they act as if they are the power in charge.
Hold on. Hold that thought.
Okay. Do you need a loan for personal or business use?
Okay, I'm with you.
Whatever your business or personal need, Credit Veal has got you covered. Simply dial 0805-510-0010. You can also send us an email via info@creditveal.ng or log on to www.creditveal.ng. Credit Veal, financing you for a good life.
All right, go ahead, Sam.
Okay. Now, let's cite the instance that happened in Obalende.
Right.
If the government of the day is mediating between, because I call them criminal organization, two of them.
Right.
Because where did they get the gun from? Why should they be, you know, brazenly using gun, broad daylight, and nobody is asking where did you get gun from? Is it mediation between them that should be the right intervention of the government, if indeed they are not the one in charge of the government? So these guys, they do things. I somebody just mentioned the Kotun.
Mm.
When the Kotun Junction was refurbished, you know, kind of rebuilt,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, because I passed through that place to my house. I said, oh, this is very beautiful. That things will improve there because it has been a chaotic place for ages. Now, do you know that despite the facilities that were deployed and everything there, in fact, it has seemed there is no you can't even see the traffic light and everything is of no essence because they mess up the whole thing. Those guys are the one in charge. So that is the reason why. They are the one in charge. They do whatever they like, and you will see them brazenly saying that I will do this. They break people's windscreen. They slap people at will. They do all manners of things and nothing happened. So that's why I said so.
All right, Sam. Thank you very much for calling. Unfortunately, that's all we can take as far as calls are concerned on the show today, because I need to give you 10,000 Naira Lagos. Thank you for being a part of Balogun and Broad. But this is the part of the show where you win 10 grand courtesy of Nigeria Info, brought to you by Creditville. Creditville has amazing offers for people who would like to get credit, who would like to get loans. Let's listen to them one more time and then I'll give you some money.
Do you need to meet up your goals for the year? Then here's the good news. Goals are easily achieved by choosing Creditville as a reliable credit assistance. Creditville is accessible and reliable at all times. With Creditville, interest rates are affordable, repayment plan is flexible, disbursement is processed within 24 hours. These and many more are the reasons why you should choose Creditville as your accessible and reliable financial partner. For more information, log on to www.creditville.ng. You can also send us an email via info@creditville.ng, and you can give us a call on 080-55100010. Creditville. Loans. Investment. Leasing.
All right, let's go. We've got two numbers, one for men, one for women. You know what they are. Let's go. Hello. Thanks for calling us.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Are you ready to play Just a Minute?
Yes, I am.
All right, then, your time starts.